But we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 4 this evening. 1 Peter chapter 4. We looked last Sunday night at spiritual gifts, and tonight we're looking at guarding those gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you once again for this time in your house. And as your word is open, I ask you, Lord, just to lead and guide during this time, and I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. I hope to be a help to your people tonight. And these are things that you have taught me over the course of ministry, and I trust it'll be a help to your people here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we looked last Sunday night at spiritual gifts. Tonight, we're looking at guarding those spiritual gifts. We looked on Sunday night at how God is the source of our gifts. We looked at how our gifts have purpose. We looked at how it's only by God's grace that we have been gifted. And when we think of divine gifts, we must be reminded that our gifts have not been given to us by some kind of random chance. These are gifts given to us by God. And God is methodical. God is a God of order and structure. And he knows you and I inside and out. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what makes us go, so to speak. He knows how we think. He knows what we like. He knows what brings us a degree of pleasure, so to speak, and excitement. And he gives us gifts according to his infinite knowledge of you and I. So when God gives you a gift and God reveals that gift to you, then embrace that gift. I remember back when the Lord was confirming upon my life that there was a call to preach. The Bible refers to preaching as a gift. The Bible refers to pastors as being a gift to the church. But I can tell you, when I resurrendered my life to the Lord, I was still struggling at times with embracing that gift. Honestly, it was a gift that I wasn't quite sure I wanted to receive. But it was a gift that I had to receive if I was going to be right with God. So I received that gift. And you know, some gifts are hard to receive because we know what they entail. And the main reason why they're hard to receive is because we know that if we receive that gift and we embrace that gift, we're going to have to then exercise that gift. See, God don't gift us for him to turn around and say, look, I gifted you. God doesn't gift us for us to turn around and simply claim that we are gifted. And honestly, this is what scares us. There's a lot of directions that we could go with this tonight in terms of gifts, whether it's generosity or it's serving or teaching or encouragement or music, but it all comes from his grace with a desire for us to exercise those gifts. But in going back to 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So notice the word stewards. This means the gift isn't yours. You don't own the gift. You are a steward of it. That means how you use your gift matters to God. I don't own preaching. I get up here and preach, but I don't own it. I don't own pastoring, even though that is my function here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I don't own pastoring. I don't own counseling, even though that is an element of the ministry. Whatever your gift is tonight, whether it's singing or music or teaching or serving in various areas, you don't own the gift. God does. Amen. And God gives us gifts to turn around and make him look good. For him to get the glory. Now, here's the tricky part. Because the devil knows about your gift. Those around you know about your gift. as your pastor. And after observing for a period of time, I know what many of the gifts are within the church. And as a result, I'm watching you and your gift to make sure that you are not taken advantage of. You see, people know if you're generous. There was someone in our previous ministry who was a millionaire and was very generous with those around him. So I'd watch this person. They were wealthy, but yet vulnerable at the same time. I start seeing new friends, new associations. I call this person aside. And all three times I was right about what was going on. People knew the person was generous and was trying to take advantage of their gift. The person knew but needed help stopping it. And I said, all right, well, here's how you could handle it if you choose. Or I can handle it for you. But if you think about this tonight, people know if you have a servant's heart. People know if you are tender-hearted. People know if you struggle at saying no. They know if you can sing. They know if you can play. They know if you can teach. They know if you can serve. They know. And the danger therein lies that at times people will seek to exploit your gift for personal gain with no thought of investing in you. We would call these people those who have a predatorial nature. They're predators. You have something that they want, and they're going to try and take whatever it is that they want from you. Now, this is important because the devil wants you to do nothing with your gift. And then the world at times, and even those amongst the brethren, will want to constantly access your gifts. But here's the thing. We've established that we don't own our gift, but also others don't own our gift either. God does. And because God owns our gift, He has the rights and privileges that are afforded to ownership because He owns us. Mm-hmm. We're bought with a price. God owns us and He owns our gifts. And again, He has the rights and privileges of ownership. You could go out with your car tonight because you own it and do whatever you want to, and everybody in town might think you've done a crazy thing with it. Same with your house, but you have the rights and privileges that are afforded to ownership. You might make the news, but you have the rights and the privileges that are afforded to ownership. And God has the rights and the privileges to us and our gifts because He owns us and He owns our gifts. So be reminded of something tonight. Everyone who comes isn't sent by God. Matthew 7:6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The Bible uses strong language here, and essentially what it means is there will be those who do not value what God has given you. So if you pour into people who take advantage of your gift, it won't produce fruit in them. It only brings harm to you. And I'll tell you something else tonight. When we misuse our gifts on those who are like this, we don't have much of our gifts left either for those who will yield fruit for the cause of Christ. 1 John 4:1, I, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So be reminded that not every opportunity that crosses your path, not every relationship is going to be from God. You've got to discern. Just because someone has a need does not mean that you are the one that is assigned to meet that need. See, Christians all the time in the struggling, in the time management of their gifts. They're wore out. They are burned out. Their health is out of whack. Sleep is out of whack because they struggle at managing their gift. The hardest thing, but the best thing I've learned in the ministry is learning to say no or I can't. There was a time I was preaching five times a week just at our church that didn't include preachers' fellowships or Christian school chapels or Bible college invitations to preach chapels. There was a time I would counsel an RU student on Friday night after RU well into Saturday morning, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. From 2011 to 2021, I earned a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate and was halfway through a second master's in 10 years. On top of being a husband, a father, a pastor, publishing a book, and I thought that I was spiritual because of all I had done. But I was killing myself. I used to think all these pastors saying no at opportunities to use their gifts. But come to find out, they were saying no to the excessive uses of their gifts, the excessive exercising of their gifts. I used to think, what's wrong with them? Even though some of them had been pastoring for 25 or 30 years, and I'd only been pastoring for 2. And I thought I had the angle. Thought I was spiritual because I was saying yes and didn't know how to say no. When many others were saying no or yes, but in more healthy avenues. When I think of a man with a pastor's heart outside of Scripture, think of Bobby Robertson. I've listened to many messages from Bobby Robertson. He's going on to heaven now, but he pastored the Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. The church ran in the thousands, thousands upon thousands. But he said in his later years that he guarded his heart. He wouldn't preach out very often because he wanted Gospel Light to always have his heart. He didn't want to risk losing his heart for the people that God had called him to. He'd seen many pastors try and make a go of both worlds, pastoring and evangelism, and end up leaving God's will, going into evangelism to later say, by their own testimony, I left God's will for my life. Evangelism seemed to be doing good, so I thought it must be God's will. And he learned to guard his heart, and he learned to guard his gift. Sometimes you have to take a step back and look at the fields that you're sowing in and see where the most fruit is or where the most potential for fruit is and plant your gifts there. I've learned the hard way to guard the gift. If you want the gift to still be there for someone else and for the years to come, you must guard the gift. I know of many in the ministry who have quit on God as a result of being burned out, and it all came down to a lack of guarding the gift. Be like getting a new job. Your boss gives you your schedule. It includes an 8-hour shift. You go in for that 8-hour shift, you work 24 hours, and then you go to the boss and you say, I quit. That's it. I can't do it. I work 24 hours, and then the boss looks at you puzzled and asks, well, why did you do that? Because I didn't ask you to do that. And I'm telling you tonight, folks, there are people who have burned out because they've tried to do more with their gift than what God would have them doing with their gift. And it's one thing to be wore out for God. And it's another thing to be wore out from a lack of spiritual discipline. And we would all agree tonight that Jesus is our example, and he set boundaries in Mark 1, verses 35 through 38. And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. You see, Jesus did not jump every time there was a need. He'd separate himself for prayer. He'd separate himself for fasting, for communion with God. And sometimes, like in this case, he quite simply just had other towns that he wanted to go to. Even though the need was everywhere. Sometimes we have our own page that we're on and we're trying to get God on our page. Lord, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to be out here at this time and I'm going to be knocking on this and knocking on that and I want you to be there. But the Lord, sometimes it's not where he's at that moment. We know from the scripture that his plans are not always ours. Sometimes they line up. Most time they don't. If our plans lined up all the time, he wouldn't be God. But our plans don't line up all the time. We have to, we oftentimes have to be brought to his page. We're on two separate pages. Lord, I think it should be handled this way. Well, he's handling it this way. Or Lord, I think it needs to be handled at this time. Well, he ain't handling it at that time. Or we think, Lord, it needs to involve this person. Well, it ends up not involving that person at all. Or you think it should be you handling, and then it ends up not being you handling it at all. Oftentimes, we're just on different pages with God, and we got to be brought onto his page. We can look to the ministry of Christ and see that he was methodical. He was very intentional. He had a reason for every route that he took. Every step he took was carefully planned before the foundations of the world. And it wasn't always a straight line. You know, the quickest way from point A to B is a straight line. Wasn't always the easy path. And again, it wasn't always the quickest path. So I'm not advocating for some type of illogical type of Christian service. That it'll always be easy, because it won't be. I'm not saying that if you're ever tired, you're wrong or something's out of balance. I'm not saying if you're ever wore out that you're wrong, something's out of balance. But oftentimes it don't have to be as hard as we make it on ourselves. When we study the life of Christ, his life was carefully considered in light of God's will. Jesus constantly said he is about the will of his Father. People were looking for him. But Jesus chose the will of the Father over trying to meet every demand from those around him. It's important to be reminded that Jesus took time to step away, to pray, to refocus on God's will. Now, by the way, that wasn't his deity. His deity never needs time away. That was his flesh. That was God robed in flesh. It was his flesh that was tired. It was his flesh that was thirsty. It was his flesh that was hungry. It was his flesh that needed a break. The deity of God has never slept. The deity of God's never hungered, never thirsted. Those are physical requirements. Those are physical demands. The deity of God has never experienced those things. But because Jesus was our example, he's saying you in your flesh, you're going to need time away. You're going to need time to step away. You're going to need time to recharge. You're going to need time to get things back in focus. There has to be times where you are allowing the Lord to recharge you, to refill you, to then send you out to be able to minister to others. So what does this teach us? This shows us that being constantly available is not the same as being obedient. And I used to think early on in the pastorate that I had to be at everything. Everything. And I could name some of the stuff for y'all that I was at early on in the ministry, and I've learned I can't be at everything. I've learned I can't do everything. I've learned those things, but you know how I learned that? I learned it the hard way. And I was in an older church. Didn't have much help in an older church, and that's the way it is. Young pastor in an older church. Now, I'd do that for the Lord. I wouldn't do it for the Marine Corps League. The Marine Corps League keeps wanting me to join them. It's like, I know what I'll be. I'll be the workhorse. I'll be the workhorse. I can't move all them tables and chairs and set up everything and stuff. I can't be the only one. But in the Lord's house, for the Lord's people, yeah, I did it. I did it. And in many ways, being in a church that has help was the Lord's blessing on literally my family practically carrying a church for 6 years. Good people, but it was an older church. And I praised the Lord for that time. It was hard, but he taught me a lot. It was trial by fire. But you know what? If you don't go through those things, sometimes I feel bad for pastors that inherit, so to speak, things that have already been built and well established, because they don't quite understand what it's like in that small church, in that older church where he and his family are practically doing most of everything. They kind of miss out on some of that. But those are important lessons. Now, I'm not one of those that say everybody should have to start out that way. I am happy for people that don't have to necessarily take the same path. I'm not one of those that say if my first house was a shack, that everybody should live in one. That's not me. Or if my first car was a clunker, everybody's got to have a clunker. I ain't one of them. I am happy for people, okay, that don't necessarily have to walk certain paths. But you do understand what I'm saying, that if you do have to walk those paths, there are some things that you learn from being way down yonder. You learn some things from that. And I wouldn't trade nothing. I wouldn't trade anything that has happened in my life, the places that I've lived. Yeah, I wish I'd have surrendered to the Lord and walked with him and never ran from him. I wish I'd done those things. But you know what? The houses we lived in, the places we lived in, my childhood and poverty, all those things. Hey, as the old slogan is, I is what I is. And I is what I is because of where I've been. And the places I've been. And the places I've lived. The things I've drove. The things I've not drove, used my feet. Sometimes you really appreciate some stuff when you got it, when you remember a time when you didn't. But I learned that, you know what, you can't constantly be available, but we should desire obedient hearts. Notice also, not every burden is yours to carry. If you remember last year, we looked some at burden bearing. And in the same chapter that we read, bear ye one another's burdens, we also see Galatians 6:5, for every man shall bear his own burden. There are some burdens that are just ours to carry. Nobody else can carry them for us. They're ours to carry. There's a difference between helping someone and carrying what God never intended for you to carry. Sometimes we see someone under load, and I've done it. And we knee-jerk our way over there and take it from them, and we carry it for them. Well, maybe God didn't want us to do that. I remember early on in RU, the Lord had to teach me a lot of lessons. And in part, some of it was overextending myself. That was some of it. And then some of it was believing stories that I shouldn't have believed and giving money to people I shouldn't have gave money to. Sometimes we see somebody and they're struggling and they're in a bind. And we just jump in. Let me fix all your problems. Let me just solve it all for you. But I've learned when I see someone struggling, I go to the Lord first. Lord, is there something I can do? Is there something that I should do? And if the Lord lays out the path, then I do it. I should always be willing. You see someone struggling, you should always be willing. There's been times I've even helped out people on the corner and gave a tract and talked to them for a minute because I believed that the Lord wanted me to do something for them. That's not every time. And usually it's not money, it's food. But there's also been times where I just didn't have a good feeling about it. So I just drove on by. But we should always be willing. Lord, what's this guy's issue over here on the corner? What's this lady's issue here on the corner? It's got the sign up. What's their issue? You might not get the ins and outs, but the Lord will impress on your heart sometimes if there's something you can do to be a help. And we should always be willing to be a help. But that don't mean we always should. I'm telling tonight, sometimes people have burdens, and it's God's will for them to carry it while depending on Him. If we're not careful, we'll take from people what God has them carrying so that they'll learn to depend on Him. And we say, so-and-so, they just don't depend on God. They just don't walk with God. We'll quit taking all their burdens from them. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. This teaches accountability. God doesn't call us to continually pour into people who refuse to take accountability for themselves. This kind of giving, it leads to depletion, your own depletion. I tell you what, you give to somebody who don't know what to do with money, you're both going to be broke. Your money ain't going to help them get ahead. You're both going to be out there with a sign. That's not good wisdom. Fruitfulness also is where our encouragement comes from in part. So follow Christ, where Christ is His life and life produces fruit. I'm always looking for fruit. If I'm doing anything for any length of time and I see no fruit, then I evaluate myself and I evaluate where I'm sowing. Because where Christ is, there will be fruit. Might be a little, might be a lot. You know, it's an amazing thing, but throughout the ministry and throughout the country and even the world, since the beginning of time, essentially, or since the start of the church, you've had small churches and big churches. The book of Revelation, the seven churches, some big, some small. Some of the small ones, they had no rebuke. They had no rebuke. Some of the largest ones had rebuke. It's an amazing thing. I think God cares more about what sort of church it is. Yeah. What kind of church it is. Cares more about the doctrine. Cares more about their faithfulness than he does how many of them are lumped in there. You think about even our bodies. We could add all. I see guys sometimes, they're so jacked, they've added so much to their body. They're so jacked with muscle, they have no quality of life. No quality of life. They can't even hardly put their shoes on. But sometimes we got that mentality that bigger is always better. And when you think about the body, you got to have a big body if you're going to be doing some stuff. You got to have a big body. And sometimes that carries over into our philosophy when it comes to church. But no, God. God cares about what kind of sort it is. Is it a healthy body? See, sometimes we focus on all those exterior things, but is it a healthy body? Is it healthy? Where Christ is, there will be fruit. I invite you tonight, guard your gift. You got to. If you want to use it long term, you have to guard it. Be reminded the devil's after it. You got to be reminded of that. The devil is going to send people after your gift. Because again, if you give it to the wrong people, we don't have an endless capacity for our gifts. believe it or not, and I'm reminded of this. I go home on Sunday, and I don't have a whole lot of words to begin with. But when I go home on Sunday night, it's like I don't know what else I could say today. But I'm usually seeing my wife for the first time, for the most part. So I have to have more words to say. But oftentimes when I get done on Sunday, it's like I feel like my capacity's gone. We don't have unlimited capacity. Whatever our gift is, it's not unlimited. It's not. And the devil will at times try and get us using that gift on things that are of lesser importance, to where something that God would have us to use it on, it's not there. And I had to learn this the hard way. Because I've dealt with people before and spent hours with them, and they seem to drain and suck all the life out of me. And it's like, I don't know who I can help now. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to help myself. I got nothing left. And always be reminded, and be careful with this when it comes to your gifts. Because when you invest in those that the Lord would have you invest in, it's amazing how the Lord uses the encouragement from that opportunity. You leave encouraged. Somebody was in desperate need of help. I have had people dump some of the worst things that has happened to them on me and left encouraged because it was an opportunity where the Lord used me to help somebody. But sometimes people come to you, they don't want help from you. They just want to drain you of your life. Want to drain you of your emotional capacity, whatever it is. You got to watch out for this stuff. And I've learned to identify them and not give them what they want. You got to learn that. Now, people get upset with you when you don't give them what you want, when they want what they want. They'll get upset. But let them be upset. And you maintain your peace. And you maintain your ability to be able to take a call 5 minutes from now and be able to help somebody else because you got the capacity for it. And I've had to learn these things when it comes to the gift because then, again, there was times I was there, but I was knocked out. Been there. And that's how I've learned to try and guard against it. I have to. And in part, that's by trusting in the Lord. And allowing the Lord to lead you and guide you in the exercising of your gifts.